Support for the Positive Judaism podcast comes from Tamid, the downtown synagogue in New York City. People of all faiths and backgrounds are welcome to celebrate Jewish life at Tamid. Visit www.tamidnyc.org for more information.
From New York City, welcome back to the Positive Judaism podcast. I'm Rabbi Darren Levine. Positive Judaism is a new vision for Jewish life in the 21st century, which lives at the intersection of religious living and the science of well-being and happiness. In this episode, I will be speaking about the importance of finding your calling and letting your life live through your work. A study was recently completed of 200,000 university graduates that were asked about their life goals. 77% of them stated that making money was their most important goal. However, the research in well-being and life satisfaction concludes that there is only a slight relationship between wealth and happiness. After a person's basic needs are met, there is only a small and incremental increase in happiness as income rises. Yet many people believe mistakenly that more money equals more happiness. Rather, as you will learn in this episode, happiness comes not from having more, but by becoming more. I'll share with you positively Jewish ideas that will help you identify work that will lead you to your greatest level of well-being and life satisfaction by orienting your mindset towards making your calling your career. The Jewish teachings about work are very clear. In the ancient words of the Jewish sage Rabbi Natan, "Just as Israel is commanded to keep the Sabbath, Israel is commanded to work." But what type of work should a person do? Work that brings them the most money, or work that brings them the most fulfillment and life satisfaction? The Talmud is very clear on this and teaches that, quote, "A person's work has to be beneficial to society. One who earns his living by following an occupation which makes no constructive contribution to the well-being of others is declared by the sages to be so unreliable that he is disqualified from acting as a witness in a court of law," unquote. From this we learn that 1, a person must work in order to be independent and self-reliant, and 2, we learn that for a person to be trusted, their work must be beneficial to society. Yet the state of work in the 21st century paints a very different picture of what is important, and I am not sure if enough people are making decisions about their careers based on their own personal well-being and life satisfaction. A recent study showed that in 2017, 50% of people were satisfied with their jobs. But the important takeaway for us is that while 50% are satisfied with their work, a whole other 50% are unsatisfied. It's probably unrealistic to think that everyone has to be satisfied with their work. But it's clear that every other person you know is unsatisfied with their current work situation. Half of you are spending too much of your time unhappy at work, which likely has a negative effect on your health, your colleagues, your friends, and your family. I wonder how many of those unhappy at work could benefit from following the Jewish approach to work, where work fulfillment comes from achieving personal independence and doing something that is beneficial to society. Is this the case for you? Did you make decisions about your career? Are you making decisions about your career based on doing something beneficial to society? For those of you who are unsatisfied at work, finding another job could be a solution, or perhaps it's more than your job. Perhaps it has to do with finding the life that wants to live through you and aligning your work life with your life calling and making your calling your career. I want to tell you about Isabel and her journey to finding a career path that would bring her life satisfaction. She came from a well-to-do family that was Jewishly observant. Her father started and ran a small but successful factory. She was a very artistic person as a child and showed great talent for creative writing and literature in school. But once she got to college, her father insisted she study business so that she could bring a new skill set to the factory. In college, Isabel took the minimum number of business classes to graduate, and the rest she took in comparative literature and world religion. Upon graduation, her father offered her a good-paying accounting job at the factory, with the assumption she would take over the company in a few years. Her father was so proud that Isabel was now at the factory and in that first month introduced her to each person as the heir to the company. He spoke glowingly of her talents and the admiration he had that she would someday take the company forward into the next generation. No father could be prouder. Yet after a few months at the factory, Isabel started getting headaches, and she awoke most mornings with a stomachache and dreaded the idea of going to the factory. She was feeling more and more anxious in her life and would often feel paralyzed when faced with making decisions at work. Not only this, but she and her father were constantly fighting now, and she began to avoid him as much as possible. Isabel decided to go and see a psychologist. She told the psychologist about her problems at work, her anxieties, and the pressure she felt from her father to take over the company. She was devoted to her father, and being the only child, felt a responsibility and loyalty to her family to carry forth the company that he started and that sustained her family. This was not the first time this psychologist had faced existential questions from his clients about work, life, and vocation. He himself had experienced similar issues when he was a younger man in search of his place in the world. His counseling stance and the way he chose to guide Isabel emerged from a specific philosophy on human development, his professional training, and his own personal experience. The psychologist listened to Isabel with interest. She told him about her physical problems, her stresses, and the conflict with her father. He understood the dilemma and believed it had to do with unresolved conflict with her father. In their sessions, he encouraged her to revisit her past, which would allow her to function better at work and be less distracted by her emotional problems and her conflict with her father. The psychologist knew that Isabel was Jewish and reminded her of the biblical commandment, "Honor thy father and thy mother." Isabel took this to mean that it was her family responsibility to carry on the family business, because that is what her father wanted. The psychologist suggested that once Isabel accepted her fate, her anxieties would settle and she would enjoy the role and the success. But first, they would spend time exploring her anger issues and to resolve the conflict between her and her father. She saw the therapist for a few months, but her anxieties only got worse, and the conflict between her father and her did not get any better. Isabel felt stuck. Being resourceful, Isabel tried another path. She went to see a life coach who specialized in helping people find their career paths. Once again, Isabel described her situation and her desire to resolve the conflict that she was having with her father, which was impacting her health, his health, and the normalcy of their family. This life coach also came from a Jewish background, but had very different training and a different philosophy about human development than the psychologist. The life coach understood Isabel's problems very differently than the psychologist, and since the problem was different, the cure also needed to be different. To this life coach, Isabel's problem was not her unresolved anger towards her father, but rather about her father pressuring her to take over the factory. Her emotional and physical problems stemmed not from anger at her father, but from her inability to assert herself sufficiently and her inner fear of following her own desires and living independently of him. According to the life coach, Isabel would only be cured of her anxieties when she was no longer afraid of her father and his possessiveness. The life coach invoked a different biblical story to counterbalance the commandment to honor thy father and thy mother. The life coach reminded Isabel of the story of young Abram. Before he was able to find his own direction in life, the biblical Abram first needed to break from his father's idols, i.e., break free from his father, to go forth from his father's house, his father's land, the land of his birth, to a new land. And there, with his wife Sarah, to start a new life and to find great reward. Through this story of Abraham and Sarah, the life coach was showing Isabel a different approach to self-realization. The coach suggested that her anxiety problem was not from unresolved conflict with her father, nor her father's wish to take over the factory. Rather, her problem was her own difficulty in taking responsibility for herself and her own adult decisions about her own life and following her heart. If she could learn to listen to her own voice, she could live a life of self-respect, be independent and free, and find her greatest contribution to herself and to society. The life coach suggested that Isabel's anger was misdirected. It was not anger at her father, but anger at herself for not yet having the strength to follow her heart. Finding her own voice would give her the freedom to resolve her anxieties, and her health issues would improve. She needed to first take responsibility for the totality of her life, and from that place, she would find her own well-being and life satisfaction. As you can see by Isabel's experience, both the psychologist and the life coach drew upon Jewish tradition in compelling ways. But which approach was best for Isabel? For Isabel, the right path was finding freedom and independence and a way to follow her heart. This is positive Judaism. Eventually, she was able to have honest conversations with herself and her father to help him understand what was important to her and her own happiness and well-being. She is now an editor at a small children's publishing house. Not a pursuit that will bring her great wealth, but it is bringing her great riches. On a personal level, I can relate to Isabel's family because my father was a dentist and ran a very successful dental practice for 40 years. His patients would often say to me, "Darren, you would make a fine dentist, and someday you'll take over this practice." But I was never drawn to dentistry, and it did not fit my personality type or character strengths. And in my early 20s, I remember having a conversation with my father, and he said, "If you want to become a dentist, of course the practice will be yours. But I think you have a different life living in you." And he was right. I'm going to leave you today with a wonderful Hasidic tale. There once lived a man named Chaim of Voloshin, who was not a very good student during his youth. He liked to read and was very creative, but he got bored easily and was lazy in school. One day, he told his parents that he was done with studying and wanted to attend a trade school to learn a craft. His parents agreed. But later that night, young Chaim had a dream. In this dream, an angel showed him a large pile of important books. He asked the angel, "Whose books are those?" "Yours," said the angel, "if you will have the courage to write them." My wish for you is that you have the courage to let your work life live through you. And may you find happiness and well-being on your journey to discovering how to make your calling your career.